Just wanted all you ladies to know just how grateful I am to be a part of your life and you to be a part of my life. And just grateful that we all get to worship God together at Greater Alton. And I just think you all have a wonderful hearts. I know you're wanting to go deeper with God and deeper in your walk with Him, or you wouldn't be here this weekend, right? There's a lot of other things that we could be doing, but we've chose to be here because each one of us wants to go deeper in our Lord and deeper in our lives with Him. And, you know, this is something I like to do at every ladies retreat, is find out who's here, that this is your first ladies retreat that you've been to. This is your first one. Could you stand up if this is your first ladies retreat? Awesome. That's great. That's great. And there's going to be more to come, so this will just be your first one. There'll be more down the road. So I hope this weekend, and pray that this weekend has encouraged and inspired each one of you to look deeper in your lives and also to dig deeper into your Lord. I believe the lessons that I've heard and what I've got for myself personally, that's happened for me. So that's my prayer for you as well. And I'm going to wrap things up this afternoon. I know everybody's probably ready to get home. This has been a great time together, but we're going to wrap up. This is going to be the last lesson, and then we'll just kind of close out with a couple of things, and everybody will be on their way home. But I'm going to be talking about the root of Jesse. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with that, if you've ever heard of that story before. I was going to ask, you know, this is one of the names that Jesus is known as, is the root of Jesse. Can you think of any other names that he's known for? Prince of Peace? King of Kings? Emmanuel? What was that? Messiah? Yeah, there's a lot of different ones. I know I thought about some that you already said, but also the Morning Star. Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. He's called the Way, the Truth, and the Life. He's called the Bread of Life. He's called the Lion of Judah, Wonderful Counselor. And each of those names has a wonderful significance, loaded with significance. But in Isaiah 11, that's where we're going to be at the rest of the afternoon, Isaiah the prophet refers to Jesus by another name. So turn with me, if you have a Bible, I would like you guys to turn to Isaiah chapter 11. And I'm going to be reading from the NIV. Okay, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. This is what the prophet Isaiah says. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. You know, how many of you have heard of the stump of Jesse? That he would come out of the stump of Jesse. It's kind of not that popular, I guess, of a story. You know, it's not like changing the water into wine or, you know, some of the other ones that we know. So, and yeah, I wasn't talking about Jesse Chapel, you know. but I thought it would be important to kind of understand the meaning of this name. Like, we kind of need to dig a little deeper into it before I just start jumping into the things that I would like to share with you this afternoon. So the root of Jesse, there's only one Jesse mentioned in the Bible. If you study it out, there's only one Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David. And most of you should be familiar with David. If you remember the story of God looking for a king to replace Saul, remember he was going to replace Saul, and he's going to look for someone to fill the bill. And in 1 Samuel 16, God sends Samuel to Jesse's house. To Jesse's house. And Jesse had 8 sons. As I tell the story, a lot of you are going to remember it. But Jesse had 8 sons, and one at a time, he brings his son out, and they parade in front of Samuel. Remember, he's looking for the king, and he looks at each one as they go by. He's like, that's not the one. He's not right. That's not him. None of them were right. None of them were right. So he asks Jesse, do you have any other sons? And Jesse said, well, I do have one more son. He's my youngest son. Do you remember where he was? He was out tending the sheep. He's out tending the sheep. So Samuel says, go get him. So Jesse brings in his youngest son, and the Lord said, ah, rise and anoint him. He is the one. And it was David. He said, anoint David. He is the one. And a lot of us are familiar with the stories of David. David killed Goliath. You've heard the story of David and Bathsheba. You know, there's a lot of different stories about David. And you can read more about those in 1 and 2 Samuel if you want to kind of learn more about David. But what you'll discover about David is that he is not a perfect man. He was not a perfect man. But to David, God made an incredible promise. He gave him an incredible promise. The promise was this. This is in 2 Samuel 7 and verse 16. I just find it amazing that God can give us promises when we're not perfect women and we mess up. But he still loves us and he wants to promise us and give us blessings. So 2 Samuel verse 7 and verse 16 says, the promise was that his house and kingdom would endure forever. You know, he said, David, your kingdom and your house is going to endure forever. And under David, the nation of Israel actually flourished. It did wonderful. It did great under his rule. But disaster and judgment would begin to overtake the descendants of Jesse. Things started kind of going downhill. Under David, it was great. But what started to happen was Israel became prideful. They became stubborn. So what happened was God took it all away and brought them into captivity. You've heard the stories in the Old Testament about Israel and God's chosen people being in captivity. It's because they got away from God. They became more concerned about what they wanted to do. They got away from him. So he allows them to be taken into captivity. And using a word picture, Isaiah describes how Israel became nothing more than a lifeless stump. It became like a lifeless stump. And what once stood as a mighty oak among all the other nations, I mean, Israel was the place. It stood high above all the other nations. It was like a mighty oak tree that couldn't be taken down. It stood against everything. But what happened is it has been cut down and carried off. It was no longer that mighty nation that it had once become, that it once was. There's, you know, picture it. There's no shade. You know, this little oak tree over here, we're going to plant it back at Greater Alton to remind us of this ladies' retreat. But, you know, we picked the leaves off so you can put your pictures on there. But imagine, he's describing Israel as this oak tree. It's been cut down and carried off. It doesn't provide shade anymore. It doesn't have any beautiful leaves. No more fruit. You know, wonderful, luscious fruit. It's gone. No more stability. No life. There's no life. It's like all that's left is an old stump. I know you wonder, this is the old stump. You know, you guys will remember looking at this today. That's what Israel was like. It was no longer this beautiful, mighty oak tree. It was nothing but an old, lifeless, useless stump. So the people of Israel, they're discouraged. You know, they're discouraged. You know, can you imagine coming from the heights of that and then being in captivity? You know, and they're wondering, what's going on? Is this it? You know, what is this, the end of the Lord's promise? You know, we've gotten away from him and now we're in captivity. You know, now is this it? And it's in the dark times of captivity that Isaiah mentions a future hope. That's what we read here when we're reading Isaiah 11. He's mentioning a future hope. He says, look at the root of Jesse. Look at the root of Jesse. God is promising a sprout is going to come out of this old stump. Things look bleak, things look bad, but there's going to be something wonderful coming out of this stump. Do you get the picture of hope? There's a picture of hope coming, and you know, it's Messiah. It's Jesus Christ that he's talking about. And I did some study with the genealogy of Christ. You can look in Matthew 1, I believe it's in the book of Luke. And you know, when you read all of the genealogy that we usually all skip over, you know, like, ah, that's so boring. But Jesse's in there. You know, it says, Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. And then you go on down and his lineage comes all the way to Christ. And Christ is that hope. But there's almost like 750 years from Isaiah to Jesus. Imagine how hopeless it all seemed and how dark it all seemed. But there was going to be a green sprout. So guess what? I have a green sprout. Now this looks hopeful to me. Okay, Kim's so great. You got this stump and it had a little hole in it, so I can put my little sprout in there. So can you see look how hopeful that looks coming out of that. You would never think that was going to happen, right? This is dead, burned up, no good. But Jesus Christ was the Israelites' hope. He is their hope. They've lost their hope. He is their hope. I was thinking about the song, My Hope Is in You, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. Some of you know the song. And I think, you know, He is my hope. Not just the Israelites' hope, but He's my hope. He's your hope. And what I wanted to really think about this afternoon is, why can I put my hope in Jesus, the root of Jesse? Can't we all use some more hope at times in our life? We can use more hope. So I think it's good to think about, why can I put my hope in Jesus, the root of Jesse? And Isaiah tells us why. We're actually going to go back to the passage in Isaiah 11 and read it again. And then what we're going to do is take it little by little and look at the things that Jesus brings hope in our lives. What are those qualities that He has? So let's look at Isaiah 11 again. It says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Okay, stump of Jesse right here. Here's the root coming up. Okay. From its roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. So we're going to look at four reasons that I can put my hope in Jesus. Four reasons that I can put my hope in Jesus. I can put my hope in the root of Jesse because Jesus is the source of life. Jesus is the source of life. You know, like I was telling you earlier, Israel appears dead. Jerusalem's in rubble. The temple's been ransacked and it's in ruins. Only the outcasts, the old, the odd are left in the land. Everybody else is gone. It's in shambles. But God paints a word picture. Out of a stump, a sprout. A branch will begin to grow and it's going to be fruitful. You know, it's not going to just get this big and that's it. You know, it's going to grow and it's going to have branches and it's going to bear fruit. It's going to keep growing. The Hebrew word Isaiah is using as he describes this is Nestor. N-E-S-T-E-R. Which means sucker root. Have you ever heard of a sucker root? Okay, some of you have. If you're more familiar with trees and different things, you've probably heard of a sucker root. What a sucker root is, Tim and I have had this happen at our house at different times. We've cut down trees, and there's still the stump there, but what happens is these, volunteer sprouts will come up. I mean, it's just like a little skinny thing. I actually took a picture of it on my phone, but I'm not going to show you because we have one of those. But it's like this little sprout. After you cut the tree down, it grows up. And they usually grow somewhere around the base of the stump. That's what they do. It's like the stump doesn't really die. You know, sometimes people have to do all kinds of stuff to kill the stump. They burn them out. They pour the stump killer on it or whatever. But these little sprouts will come out of it. And for the most part, sucker roots, they're ugly. They're fragile and fruitless and useless. They don't become like a big tree like the tree that was there. It's just this little puny thing that just comes up and looks ugly. It doesn't do anything. And when you stop and think about it, Jesus seems to be like a sucker root. He has a poor beginning, brought up in despised Nazareth. He's rejected by people. He doesn't look like he's going to be this awesome thing coming out of the stump of Jesse, coming out of the root of Jesse. Even his appearance is repulsive. You guys have read Isaiah 53 where it says he looking like a root sticking out of the dry ground. You know, it describes what Jesus, there was nothing in his appearance that would draw us to him. You know, he's just like this, that's what he looks like. But this sucker root is different. It's from an oak tree. And oaks were the symbol of Israel. So Jesus, he has the life-giving Spirit of God resting on him. When we read in Isaiah 11, it said, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. God's Spirit rests on him. So this root is full of life, because God's Spirit is full of life, right? in John 1, verse 32, this is Jesus' baptism. And John says this, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. You know that story after he comes up from his baptism, the dove comes down. And it's like God's Spirit. It's like resting on him, but it's actually dwelling and remaining in Jesus. God's Spirit lives in him. And this is significant because the Bible says the Spirit gives life in John 6:63. It says the Spirit gives life. And I was thinking about, I was preparing for this. I had already watched the video that you guys got to see and what you got to hear. And you know, we just heard 5 stories of women coming back to life or finding new life that they never had before. You know, think about it. They were sharing about their lives. Their lives were dormant. In a lot of ways, their lives were dead. They didn't have real life like God talks about. They talk about the things that they were going through in their life. But Jesus gave them life. They all shared that, right? Jesus gave them something different. He gave them life. And, you know, I believe there are all kinds of stories in this room. There's all kinds of stories in this room. You guys each had a little card. You had a chance to write some of your story down. But, you know, we're all at different places in our story. Some of us have just begun. You know, some of you have just become Christians this year. Stand up if you became a Christian this year. 2013. Who became a Christian this year? Awesome. That's awesome. What I want you ladies to realize, the ones that stood up, is you're beginning a new life. Jesus has given you a new life, and you're just starting. You're experiencing it. You're at the beginning of it. And maybe some of us, as we watch the video, we're realizing we're more in the middle of the story. We're not like at the beginning, but we're somewhere in the middle, and maybe we kind of feel like we've gotten dormant. You know, like we're not experiencing that new life. We're not feeling it. You know, somewhere our spiritual life has become dead in a lot of ways. And I just wanted to encourage you, if you feel like that describes you today, I just want to encourage you to get back to your spiritual roots. You know, get back to the root of Jesse, because that's where you're going to experience new life. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Right, ladies? We're not going to. We can try, but we're not going to find it anywhere else. So there's another reason I can put my hope in the root of Jesse. Not only is he the source of life, but I can put my hope in him because Jesus cares about me. He cares about me. Again, referring back to Isaiah 11, it says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. What does that mean? What does that mean? With his wisdom, Jesus made everything. You know, if you know, John 1 talks about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That means Jesus was with God in the very beginning. He was with the Father. They're one and the same. So when everything was created, Jesus was there. Jesus was there at the very beginning. So he knows how the plants work. He knows how the planets work. Jesus knows how everything works because he made them. Right? He made them, and he made me, and he made you too. He made us. Think about that. He understands me. He gets me. You know, he gets what I'm all about. You know, my friends may know a lot about me, and my family may feel like they really know me, but really the only one who truly knows me and truly understands me is Christ. He's the one who truly does. And he cares about me more than anyone else. In Psalms 139, verse 13 through 16, this is the New Living Translation. It says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. What's he saying? You know, Jesus knows me inside and out. He knows me in my inner being, right? He knows how I tick. He knows what excites me. You know, I thought about that with me. I'm applying this to me too, ladies. He knows what excites me. And some of the things that excite me are Nathan and Matthew marrying Christian women. That excites me. When someone gets baptized, that excites me. When the Cardinals were in the World Series, I was excited. Jesus knew that. He knows everything. It's not just the spiritual things. He knows the other things, everything about me that I'm excited about. He knows what satisfies me. Delicious piece of chocolate. You know, curling up on the couch with Sandy. She likes to nestle right where my knee is, you know, where my bend of my leg is. She nestles. That's comfy and satisfies me. He knows what hurts me. He knows that broken relationships hurt me. He knows that my mom passing away in January hurt me. He knows that when I see a brother or sister struggling in their walk with God, that hurts me. And you know, he knows what heals me too. He knows what heals me. A quiet time on my screened-in porch heals me. I walk in the woods. I love nature. I love to go camping. Those kind of things, just they heal me. Just being out in God's nature. A ladies' retreat heals me. Spending time with sisters, you know, heals me. Going over to Stephanie's and having some hot tea, or her coming to my house and just looking at some magazines together and just hanging out and encourage each other, it heals me. He cares about me. Can you guys relate? He cares about us. Look at Isaiah 42, 1 through 3. Since you're in Isaiah, I'm going to have you guys turn to this one. Doesn't that give you hope to know that he really cares about you? Isaiah 42, verse 1 through 3. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. God says the root of Jesse is a servant. You know, you picture God as Christ as a servant. He wants to take care of me. He does things for me that I can't do for myself. How does he serve me? You know, here in Isaiah 42, he's talking about a bruised reed that he won't break. He doesn't break a bruised reed. And what a reed was, they would use them a lot of times for a staff. You know, like a cattail out by the lake, you know, that's kind of what it's talking about. They would a lot of times use those for, they would use them for a staff, but they were kind of delicate. They couldn't bear a lot of weight. You know, they could break easily, especially if they were bruised or blemished. There was something not quite right with them. And if in Bible times, they wouldn't use one that was bruised or blemished. They would just go ahead and snap it in half and throw it, toss it aside because it wouldn't be useful. But it says that Jesus doesn't do that. A bruised reed he will not break. So when I'm hurt, when I'm bruised, when I can't bear much load, you know, I felt that this way a lot this year. It seemed like I've had a lot going on in my life. A load. I can't bear much load. He doesn't give up on me. He doesn't break me and toss me aside. He takes into account my weaknesses, and he takes into account my needs. And it says when my flame is weak and smoldering, you know, when you have a candle and the wick's not just right, it starts like smoking. You know, you just want to go over there and blow it out because it's being a pain. You know, it's smoking up the house. It doesn't look very pretty. It says, no, he doesn't do that. He doesn't just blow us out when we're having trouble with our flame. No, he trims us and puts some more oil in and takes care of it just right so that I can burn bright once again. He doesn't want to snuff me out. He won't bully me. He won't push me around. He doesn't lose his temper and raise his voice. Instead, he's gentle. That gives us hope. Doesn't that give you hope to know that he's like that when you're weak? But there's more, okay? I can hope in the root of Jesse because Jesus makes me able. Jesus makes me able. Again, back in Isaiah 11, it says, the spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power. You know, I said earlier, you know, some of the names for Jesus, one of them was he's a wonderful counselor and a mighty God. You know, you see those two words together. the counselor and the might going together. So, you know, Jesus doesn't just guide us. He provides. He provides for us. He has a plan for me, but he also has power. He has power for my life. The power to help me grow and the power to help me change. And do you guys, do you ever feel like it's impossible to grow? You ever feel like you're stuck? I know Debbie talked some of that in her class. But, you know, sometimes it feels like it's impossible to move forward as a woman of God. We feel like we're just stuck. And the Apostle Paul, he puts his hope in Jesus whenever he feels that hopeless power to change. In Romans 7, verse 21 through 25, this is in the Message. It says, "It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me?" Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He can and does. You know, we need to be grateful and thankful that God gave us Jesus, because we don't have any hope without him. He makes us able. And, you know, we can all identify him with Paul. You know, there's times when, you know, we want to do what's right, but we just can't. We just don't. We want to change, but it just doesn't happen. We want to do what's good, but we don't. We feel that struggle, like that powerlessness. It just seems like, you know, like we keep messing up. But Jesus is the answer to growing and changing my life. He's the answer. He gives me hope. You know, as we're winding up the weekend, you know, you're going to be reflecting on, like, the breakouts you went to earlier, and just all the things that have happened this weekend. And I know we had, like, 6 different breakouts, and you only got to go to 2. You know, so there's some other lessons that you can, like, listen to. But, you know, when you think about the weekend, were there things that were talked about that you're like, you know, I really want to go deeper in that. I really want to change. You know, I want to be deeper in my faith. I want to, you know, get dirty. I want to plant God's word. You know, I want to share the word with the lost. I want to be more loving and tender with people. I want to grow in that. I want to just be stronger in those things. I want to bear more fruit in my life. Jesus is where we get the hope for that. That's where we get the power, and that's where we get the guidance, is from him. He has the power and the might. In John 15, it talks about the vine and the branches. You know, he says, "I am the vine, you and the branches." And what does it say? If we want to bear much fruit, what needs to happen? If we want to bear much fruit, it says, you've got to remain in me. We've got to remain in Christ and stay close to him. It says, he's the answer. He can give me the direction and the strength, but I've got to stay rooted in him. I've got to stay rooted in him. When you feel hopeless or you feel discouraged, remember that promise. You know, Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." He gives us hope. We just need to stay close to him. And finally, I can put my hope in the root of Jesse, because Jesus helps me revere God. He helps me revere God. Again, back in Isaiah 11, it says, "He possesses the spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He delights in the fear of the Lord." I don't know, delights in the fear of the Lord. I don't know if I can say that about me. You know, he delights in it. And what is the fear of the Lord? That means having reverence towards God. And, you know, reverence means having high regard, respect, admiration. You have great awe and esteem, adoration. You know, all those words. That's what it means to have reverence towards God. And, you know, what happened? Well, let me back up a minute. If I could maybe, like, illustrate it in another way, it's like when you see the ocean for the first time. Some of you have seen the ocean, you're going to have, like, this awe or this wonder about it. You know, you see the ocean. You know what I'm talking about? Or you see a rainbow or a beautiful sunset. You know, some of those that just captivate you, and you're just, like, in awe of it. It's like, wow, you can't take your eyes off of it. You just can't get enough of it. It's just great. That's what we're talking about, having that kind of awe for God. And what happened to Israel was that she lost her awe for God. And when she lost her awe for God, they got to a place of hopelessness. they got to a place of hopelessness. And when you or I, when we lose that deep admiration for God, and when we stray away from Him, things may seem okay for a while, but it's going to lead us to a life that's meaningless, and eventually we're a place where there's no hope when you get away from God. And if that's happening to you, you may find yourself sitting on an old stump saying, what happened? How did I get here? How did my life get here? And there's a lot of things that can steal our focus away from having that awe of God. You know, lots of things. Worries, troubles, addictions, some good things. Good things. Our careers, our families, school, having fun. I mean, just life in general can take us away from having that awe for God because we get caught up in something else besides Him. And if you're familiar with the story about Solomon, he gets up caught up in all kinds of things. Remember, he tried everything, didn't he? If you read about Solomon, he tried all kinds of things, but his search brought him back to his God. In the words of Solomon, he says, now everything has been heard, so I give my final advice. Honor God and obey His commands, because this is all people must do. That's Ecclesiastes 12:13. That's all people must do. You know, why is reverence for God so important? Why is it so important? Because really, when you get to the root of it, does anything else really matter? It really doesn't. Nothing else really matters. Life is about honoring God. It's about having a deep admiration towards Him. And the root of Jesse can help me revere God, because that's what Jesus was all about. He was different than any of the other kings that they ever had, because a lot of the other kings became just caught up in doing what they wanted to do, caught up in doing their own will. But the branch of Jesse delighted in doing God's will. There's lots of scriptures in the New Testament that talk about Christ, and all He was about was He was here to do what His Father sent Him to do. He was here to say what His Father wanted Him to say. He was here to please His Father, to do the will of Him. That's what He was all about. So Jesus possessed a deep reverence for God. He had a deep awe for God, and that is what created His deep desire to please God. You can't really get them backward. If you're just... your awe for God will drive you to please Him. That's your motivation, is focusing on how wonderful He is and how great He is. That's what motivates us. And we can learn from Christ, because that's what He was all about. And He gives us hope in that. He can give us the direction to keep centered on God. In John 5, verse 30, in the New Century Version, says, I don't try to please myself, but I try to please the One who sent me. I try to please the One who sent me. If I would just sum up the stuff that I'm trying to say from Isaiah 11, I would basically say the message of Christ is all about hope. The root of Jesse is all about hope when there wasn't any hope. And that's what He is for us today. You know, each of you took a small note card, right? And you jotted down your thoughts about your spiritual roots, your own personal story. And what I want you to think about is, what is your story? It's good to reflect and think about that. It's good to think about what God has brought you from, but also think about where am I right now? And where is God taking me? You know, that hope's supposed to continue to grow, to continue to be deeper in Him. I want to encourage each of us as we leave today to be determined to do more than just scratch the surface. You know, on the tables, I don't know if you even noticed earlier, those of us that put a lot of work into this realized what was on the tables. You may not have, but there were a couple of gardening tools on every table. And one of them looked like a little rake. I think it's called a cultivator. Is that what they call it? I think it was. Huh? Yeah, cultivator. It was a little cultivator. It's not really designed to go deep. You just scratch the surface. You know, you just scratch in the dirt with it. You know, but the other thing that was on the other garden tool on the table was with a little spade, and it's called a trowel. Not a troll, Denise, a trowel. Yeah. And the little spade was designed to dig deep down in and to either plant something or get down to the root of something. You're going to dig something out. It's to go deeper. And I just want to encourage each of us and each one of you to take your relationship with your Lord, with the root of Jesse, take it deeper from this weekend. Go deeper than you've ever been before. You know, just, I want to know him more and more. You know, be determined to go deeper, and may you love your Lord more and more as you go deeper in his love. I wanted to close, instead of doing a regular prayer, there is the book of Psalms. I found a prayer of David's that I just thought was great and really described a lot of what we've been talking about this weekend. It's, if you have a Bible, I'm going to be, like I said, in the NIV, Psalms 25. It's kind of long, but that's going to be our prayer. We're going to take David's prayer and make it ours. Psalms 25. We're going to start in verse 4. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. My integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. In the name and in the promise of the root of Jesse. Amen. I'm going to leave you with that. I think we're going to...